Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. It's Tuesday. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Remember, today's also True Crime Tuesday, and we've got a very powerful story today. An Arkansas political representative is going to join us. She's going to talk to us about her correspondence with Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, someone she looked at as a boogeyman as she grew up. And the tragedy that befell her life that led her, directly to talking with her boogeyman to try to get answers and understand. It's very powerful. Check it out for yourselves. If you haven't subscribed, this is the day to check it out. Go to darknessradio.com, click on that true crime banner and subscribe now. It's only $5 a month. A lousy stinking $5. You can't go wrong. And it gives you 4 to 5 brand new episodes every month that are anywhere between 90 to 120 minutes long. Go check it out for yourself. Today, we're going to talk with, and I'm being joined by a good friend of ours from the show, Bill Bean. And Bill has appeared on numerous TV series. He's also written a few books regarding his works in the paranormal, and he is one of the most sought after men for helping people that are dealing with dark entities and possessions and malevolent hauntings. And he has a new story that he's been working on, and I asked him to come on and talk to me about this. So let's welcome back to Beyond the Darkness, Mr. Bill Bean. Bill, it's always great to have you back with us.
Oh, it's my honor and pleasure to always be on with you. We always have such a great back and forth, and you're just top notch. So it's always great to come back with you, Dave.
Well, you've had quite a bit of experience throughout your life, and just to kind of catch listeners up who may be new to the show, with your own hauntings, do you believe that the dealings you had were with true demonic forces, or do you believe that they were malevolent ghosts, angry spirits?
Yeah, they were truly demonic forces, and, you know, I've often said that I couldn't be here now where I'm at and helping others become free from this stuff had I not been there. So I look at it as sad and as tragic and as horrific as it was, it was part of the journey. We all have a journey in life, and unfortunately, some of us suffer a little more than others, and furthermore, I find that the ones with the greater callings in life are the bigger callings, because no person is better than another, but those with a bigger calling in life from God have to suffer the most for whatever reason.
Well, I want to know, Bill, what is your opinion with some of these hauntings that are very violent in nature? Does it ever turn out to be just spiritual, something, an angry spirit that still resides in that location, or does it always end up being demonic, in your opinion?
Well, here's the way we have to look at it. We as human beings, we operate on frequency and vibration. So if our frequency is high, life is good, things are positive, and we are moving forward in life. But if our frequency is on low, then life sucks. And there's always a drama, there's always a problem, there's always a situation, and there's never a solution. And I was there. I've lived it. I understand it. So if, per se, there was just this angry, violent spirit, in the home, well, then I would certainly have to associate it with demonic because of the frequency and vibration. These things manifest because of some sort of traumatic event or something that someone has done to open a doorway to it. If, again, per se, there is a spirit that has been in a home or location for many, many years, and you know, the spirit happens to be negative or angry, or however we could say it. It is, and then, you know, if you have family that comes in and one of the family members or more, you know, has had some type of traumatic experience or maybe suffering in some way, you know, emotionally or spiritually, or maybe those people are doing things to, you know, occultic things to open the door for demonic negative, whatever it may be. It's going to go hand in hand with demonic forces, and furthermore, demonic forces would be drawn to something like that in the negative. So really, it all comes down to positive versus negative, good versus evil for me.
In most cases, when we talk about the demonic, it's because it's something that never walked the earth as a human, was never really part of our I don't know, humanity at all. So I'm curious, do you come upon beings that are not Christian-based? Do you come upon these dark energies that don't obey a religious tone at all? Because there are different religions, different belief systems, and each one seems to have dark forces. As you mentioned earlier, sometimes people open a portal without realizing it. If they've opened up a portal in their own belief systems and culture, does that render Christianity and the use of our theology useless in trying to rid the home of them?
Well, in my cases and in my career now, there's been hundreds and hundreds of these types of things for me. I have never encountered anything that would not obey the will of God or the commands of God. And let me be very clear that I am a non-denomination minister. Yes, I'm Christian. For me, you know, I have studied the Bible. It took me years of studies of the Bible, but I kind of stand outside of organized religion per se, to where my connection with God is very strong and very personal. And I thank God and praise God for that. And everything that I've done and everything that I continue to do is by the power of God. It's not my power. And again, I thank God and praise God for that. So, that said, I have not, and believe me, Dave, I've been to some places to where, and what I'm about to say, some might think that I'm a madman, but people are free to think whatever they want to think. All I can tell you is what's true and what I've experienced. I've been to some places to where the family is having multiple experiences with different types of beings, whether that would be demonic or even the UFO aspect tied into it, or even Bigfoot. These things are all very much tied together, and most people miss the boat on this. They don't understand it, but I have yet to be involved in something to where it would not go after I have commanded it to go by the mighty power of God. His name is Yahweh, in Jesus' name.
All right. I'm just fascinated by those aspects, because you've had great results with that. I've come across a few different exorcists, lay exorcists, whatever you want to refer to them as, that have gone in and dealt with this and used religious, I don't know what's the word, I mean, calling out religious icons, Jesus, God, the different angels, that it seems to have no impact on them. What do you think is going on in those cases? Then do we just put the blame squarely on the shoulders of the agent, that it's that they're truly, their faith and strength is not that strong, and that's why they're unable to move anything?
Well, I don't want to criticize anybody, but I'll tell you, for me, the best defense is a strong offense. So when I'm involved in something and I'm going into something, I don't have any fear, number one, and I praise God for that. And secondly, I have to, in my commitment to God and in this calling that God has put on me, I have to remain strong, faith, strength, and courage. And let me tell you, I've been in situations where some other people, you know, might have just ran out of there. But it is by the power of God that I was able to, A, not be afraid, and B, able to still control the situation under some just, let's say, just off the chart circumstances of just craziness and total takeover by demonic forces on, you know, various people at different times. And I'm just thankful to God that, you know, he keeps me with his power very strong. And so for me, I have to remain in what I call warrior mode. It's faith, strength, and courage, and therefore there is no fear. And when we eliminate the fear, we're starving the devil right out of our life. We kick him right in the teeth. And that's, you know, I really say these things to the clients to get them to have a more aggressive approach. And this is truly the way to keep negative demonic forces out of your life, is to have that kind of passion and drive and what I call holy anger to be able to keep the door closed to this garbage and walk in not only the faith, strength, and courage, but peace, freedom, and victory as well.
You've got a lot of passion behind what you do. That's why a lot of times when people reach out to me with something that they're dealing with that's affecting them or inflicting members of their family in pain and in horror, you're one of the first people I reach out to go after them. And I've had person after person contact me afterwards telling me what a great job you've done and how they haven't felt relieved like this in as long as they can remember. So that's why I'm always fascinated when you have a new story to tell. Let's begin now with this new case. How did it come to your attention? Was it, again, somebody that was referred on to you, or did you find them yourself?
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Dave, for always being there and referring people to me, and I appreciate that and praise God for it. I'm just, again, thankful that God works for me to be the agent that can take this garbage away, and I'm really thankful for that. And yes, this case took place on October 27th, Friday, October 27th. And these people were referred to me by their minister, and her name is Tia Bell, and she is an ordained minister, and she's also gifted with what I call prophetic gifts, which a lot of people would say psychic abilities, whatever it may be. She actually had a TV series on it. I think it was Bravo or A&E called Psychic Tia, and wonderful lady. She is very gifted, and these people came to her, upper middle class people, very, very good and productive people. Husband's a military man. These are very, very good and wonderful people. And the client, the victim, she had suffered for many, many years. And I can't go into it as to what some of the things that she suffered, but let me tell you this, brother. It was just among the worst that I've ever heard of a single person suffering in their childhood. And so she suffered these traumas and torments, and that in itself is what opened the doorway for her to be demonically oppressed. And she carried that around for many years, and it was dormant in a way, but yet in other ways it was active to where it was really affecting her quality of life and her ability to love herself and to be happy and to move forward. She just couldn't. So what had happened was that they had visited Tia, and apparently her mom, the victim's mom, had just passed. And when the mom passed, someone had given her one of the mother's necklaces. And according to the husband, after she received this necklace, literally all hell broke loose. And so then the supernatural aspect manifested in the physical, and she was starting to exhibit signs of demonic possession, and she began physically attacking the husband, acting out. I saw a video before I, you know, went. Tia had actually had someone videotaping the session to where when they went to her office for help, a full possession had taken place, and Tia was just terrified, as well as the husband, you know. And Tia did an outstanding job in hanging in there, but she didn't have experience with these types of things, and so she called me and then referred them to me. And she actually ended up being there at the residence and assisting me with the exorcism, and she did a great job. and she just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it myself because I thought, I do so many of these. You know, you think after a while there's a certain pattern and, you know, I go about things in a certain way. But in this one, when I arrived at the residence at 4:45 p.m., and the husband opened the door, and I would say that the victim, was standing about 20 feet or so away from him. And as soon as he opened that door, Dave, the entity inside of her, started growling and hissing at me. You would have had to have seen it and heard it yourself to truly understand what I'm saying. And so I knew right then and there, I thought, well, my game plan is out the window now as to how I go about this, because usually, again, there's a pattern and a way that I go about these things, and that requires me to say prayers first and then sit down with the client or clients and talk and get to the root of the problem. Well, this was out the window because now she's exhibiting signs of demonic possession. So I enter into the dwelling, and as I advanced in, she was now retreating. And again, this is because of the power of God that works through me. And so these demons fear my presence because of God's power. And so she was retreating, and I followed her into the dining room area. Very large home, very beautiful home. And she had gotten to a point where she was cornered in the dining room, and she had a glass in her left hand. It looked like a chalice. It was red up the top and clear down the bottom. And there was a voice coming from her, which was not her voice, yelling obscenities at me and saying that you can't have her, get away from her, you cannot save her. Her face looked distorted. Her eyes were red. Now, in a lot of cases, I have seen people where their eyes would go all the way white. I have seen people where their eyes would go all the way black. Even in one case in San Diego, the person's eyes went to like reptilian slits and turned like yellow.
All right. So at any point, Bill, when you start seeing things like that, mm-hmm. do you ever think, you know, maybe I should just get a job at Target? Just leave this business. Because I got to tell you, at some point, when their eyes start changing color and they're growling and hissing at you, or you get reptilian slits, I think it takes a special kind of crazy to stay in on that and continue to do battle. But have you ever had it kind of even shock you after all this point, after all these encounters? Do you ever find yourself going, wow, what am I up against here?
Well, I was shocked there. I really was, because I didn't expect it to manifest so quickly. And so I was shocked, but yet still in control. And Tia later said to me, she said she was a former Paterson, New Jersey police officer before starting her career as a minister and a psychic that helps people, and she does great work. She said to me afterwards, she said, I have been in a lot of situations with my brother officers, but let me tell you something. I would take you over them any day, and I would go into battle with you anywhere, any day. And I told her, I said, this is the power of God. This is how God works. And so what had happened is this lady's now cornered, and she attacked Dave. She came out of the corner. She tried to hit me with a glass. I blocked it. She tried to bite me. She was spitting on me. She kicked me, and I had to take her to the ground. And this was a large lady, and she had, and again, when people are under demonic possession, they're very, very powerful. And so, again, I thank God for giving me the power and for giving me his power to overcome this, because now you're in a real physical struggle. And so I'm literally on top of her, trying to subdue her feet and her hands, and while I'm doing this, she's continuously trying to bite me. Yelling all these obscenities, spinning on me. It was like a scene from a horror film. And let me tell you, in a situation like that, now just think about what I'm saying here. The person that is the agent for God, whether you want to call that person an exorcist or a deliverance minister or whatever you want to call the whatever you want to give that title, however you want to say it, that person better be walking in warrior mode, in that faith, strength, and courage, and really better have that true connection with God, because now you're talking about somebody getting hurt, and seriously hurt or worse. And so, again, I was very thankful to God that I was able to, through all this craziness, physically subdue her, and Tia was assisting me with handing me the Bible, and it was so difficult because I had to use both of my hands, but at one point I'm using one hand to try and subdue her, the other hand to get my Bible or the holy mixture that I use with, I use a mixture of holy water, holy oil, and holy salt, and I'm spraying her with that. She's spitting it back on me, and in that instance, you know, I'm saying, by the mighty power of Yahweh, His mighty and holy name, in Jesus' name, I bind and rebuke you, foul demon. I command you to depart. And I'm, you know, touching on her head and grabbing her head. And this went on, no exaggeration, for 25 minutes, back and forth, a battle like this. Now, think about this. Because in a real fight, you know, a street fight, does not last that long. It's, you know, a matter of minutes. In most cases, it goes to the ground. And then it's over with, and both combatants, you know, even if they're not seriously injured, they're exhausted. So this physical struggle went on for 25 minutes until it left her. And when it left her, I knew it wasn't totally gone, but I thought, this is my window now to get her back up. And I helped her back to her feet. She was crying, her eyes completely red. And I thought, okay, I got to get her into the bathroom. There's a very large shower in there, and I thought, I'm going to, you know, get her in there for round two and start the baptismal process. And then ultimately round three would be to get her in the big soaker tub for a fully immersed baptism. So Tia assisted me in getting her into the master bathroom, the shower area. We get her in there, and as soon as I start the water and I start blessing the water, it manifests again. So now here we go, a full physical struggle once again, and I had to force her into the shower. She is doing everything, or the entities inside of her, you know, again, same thing with the trying to hit me and kick me and bite and spit. Her mouth was foaming. She was talking in different voices. And so here I am, you know, getting her under the water. Tia is to my right, and I've got her, and I'm struggling with, now I'm in dress clothes, and this shower is going, I was totally soaked at that point. It didn't matter, you know, what mattered was getting this woman free from evil. And so again, it was another titanic struggle in the shower, and she was just growling and hissing and screaming and like screeches. And
now, what is going on, Bill, with the other people in the house? First of all, if I had you over and my wife was acting like this, you know, I don't know what I would do. Would I be trying to help you? Would I be avoiding it? Would I be angry that you're wrestling my wife to the ground and dragging her into the shower? I mean, what are the effects on the people around you?
Yeah, and he's wonderful. Her husband's a wonderful man, and he was terrified. He stayed out. He stayed away. So while this is taking place, Tia saw him in the bedroom adjacent to, I guess that would be their bedroom, because this was the master bath. So he was just detached. But I will say this, at one point, I called him in because I asked him to run the water in the big soaker tub, which he did. And so Tia assisted me in getting her. So at one point, you know, again, this went on for, I don't know, maybe another 15 minutes in the shower. And so after that was over with, you know, now part three is to get her into that soaker tub to where I can get her baptized. And so the husband did come in and do that, and he got right out of there. I mean, he's terrified. He's never experienced anything like this before. He didn't know what to do. And so I guess it was best for him, really, in retrospect, looking back on it. He did the right thing and just staying away from it. He loves his wife, of course, but what could he do, you know, at that point? So we ultimately get her and it was a struggle to get her into the tub, but we get her in there, and now it must have been 5 or 6 different voices talking to me. And one voice was like German sounding. The other voice was like an English, old English type of accent. Then others were deep guttural type of voices that we typically hear in the, you know, demonic cases. And so I had to go through and bind and rebuke each one of these voices, which I would attribute to maybe being certainly based on what she had experienced as a child. I wouldn't doubt for one second that there, you know, weren't 6 or 7 different demonic entities in this woman just because of her exposure to. I couldn't on this show tell you some of the things that she experienced and was subjected to as a child. I look back on it right now as I'm relaying this account to you and think, dear God, I can't believe that she suffered in that way. So when people suffer, you know, levels of trauma, no matter if it's mild trauma or extreme, you know, the trauma, the things that she suffered would be in the 10 range. And no matter what it is, it opens the doorway because, in my opinion, the pineal gland, which some call the third eye, that is the fear gland. And so when that is activated, it is going to draw in demonic forces because of the fear. You know, it's a smorgasbord for them. So this is why it is necessary for people to walk in that kind of faith, strength, and courage and eliminate the fear, because it will not draw the demonic. It will keep them away. So it was another process in the tub with her, probably another 15 or 20 minutes there or more. And it was a battle back and forth. And then eventually I was able to bind and rebuke these things one by one. And at some point I was saying to her, and I said, I was using her name, and I said, I know you're in there. I know you can hear me, and I know you want to be free from this, and I need you to work with me now. God is here. God is helping you. God is going to take this from you. God loves you. You are a wonderful person, and you deserve to be happy, and you deserve to have all of God's blessings in your life. Now, God's doing his part. I'm doing my part. You have to do your part. So help me to help you. And after I said that, things you could feel, literally, Dave, you could feel the grip of this evil loosening from this woman. And every time I reached her personally like that, it lessened the grip. And then each and every time I was binding and rebuking each one of these spirits that ran on and around her, and each time I did that, you could feel it decreasing and dissipating. And so it got to the point to where I was ready to perform the baptism, and when I did that, I immersed her in the water, and when she came back up, you could feel it let her go. When a person becomes free from this, they slump. They just have this, you know, like it is, let them go. They slump and they begin to cry. And that's exactly what happened here. And I was never so overjoyed to see someone become free from that. And I'm happy to tell you that she and her husband are doing very well now. I'm so thankful to God, and they are just wonderful people.
All right. Now, you've got me a little unnerved here, more than usual, Bill. You're saying that, you know, for a long time, we've often believed that the way that the demonic get to us and possess us is because we give them permission, which I've always thought it to be, you're giving your will to them. You're saying, yes, you may enter me. Yes, you may come into me, whatever. And that's basically how it takes place. But what you're saying is by these fearful experiences throughout our life, it's opening up that portal within us and allowing dark forces in, whether we want them there or not.
Absolutely correct. It's true. I'm sorry to say it, but we're speaking truth here. And so if people could understand and realize this, then they could take the appropriate steps and measures to ensure that they keep themselves on high frequency, high vibration, and move forward in-face strength and courage and keep that door closed, the fear door closed. Now, look, that's easier said than done, and we all have situations and circumstances in life. My life is very good and very blessed, but that doesn't mean my life is perfect. So we all have a set of issues and challenges in life. However, when these situations arise, it is imperative that we stay in faith. So I know no matter what happens in my life, and if something negative comes along, I know God's there. And I know that God is going to help me to fix the problem, whatever it may be. God has made a way for me where there wasn't a way and continues to do so, and I thank Him and praise Him for it. So at the end of the day, it comes down to that unshakable, unbreakable faith. And that's why God had such great favor on David, because David walked in that warrior mode. He was a man after God's own heart, and he walked in that faith, strength, and courage, and God always had honor and favor on him. So this is a huge part of my message now, is to get this to people and plant these seeds with them. I can't twist anybody's arm to do anything, but what I can do is plant seeds with them and say, look, this is how I go about it in my life, and God blesses me abundantly. So if He'll do this for me, He'll certainly do it for you.
That's really, like I said, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but it's so unnerving. What about the whole idea, Bill, of free will, that we have free will and that the only way we can lose is by giving in? You know, when we're traumatized as a child or abused as a teenager or, you know, abused as an adult, that's not our free will. That's the free will of the abuser. Why would that then not only open us up for an ass-kicking physically, but a spiritual ass-kicking? That would seem like those would be the moments most when God should stand up and strengthen and fortify and bolster us to give us the strength to get through those moments instead of cracking the shell and allowing more darkness in.
I know it, but unfortunately that's not the way it goes. And when a person, you know, many of my cases and clients unfortunately suffered traumas through child molestation or rapes or some type of violent crime, whatever it may be, it goes into, you know, when the person is suffering this, and certainly the perpetrator obviously is demon-filled to carry out these types of and heinous acts. That's number one. But unfortunately, when the wicked and heinous act is carried out, through the trauma that the person has sustained, it now opens that person again. And I'm sure you've read about this. This goes right back to MK Ultra and all these mind control experiments that black ops people do and shadow agencies and governments do and have done. It's the same thing, because they know that when traumas take place, it's opening up the pineal gland, and the fear is coming out of there, and it's drawing all these demons like a smorgasbord, and that's exactly what happens. And it's sad, it's unfortunate, but when that happens, it's up to someone like me to come along and God to work through to get rid of it. So in most of my cases, what I do is I'll go into the residence and, of course, I'll say prayers before I even go in, and part of that is a land blessing, and then I'll go inside and bless the home and say other prayers as well and anoint everybody's heads, and then we sit down. And I become a counselor then, and I have to know what's going on. And I don't want to know people's deep and dark secrets, but I have to know them, because if a person is being affected in this way, we have to get to the root of the problem. And once we get to the root of the problem, and as we are getting to the root of the problem, we are taking back all legal ground from the devil that he feels he has. And legal ground, again, unfortunately, when these traumas take place, he's right there. And so it's sad. It's unfortunate. I don't know why God allows this, and I can't question God. But all I can say is I urge people out there, all who may be listening to this, and if there's some out there that are having these types of problems, I urge you to get help, whether it's me or someone else. I urge you to get help so you can close that door, because once you're set free from this, Then the door closes, and we always pray that it's shut, locked, chained, and padlocked to the devil forevermore. And God will do his part, but it's up to the person to do their part as well, just to make sure that they are moving forward on high.
All right, we need to take a quick break. We'll come back. I've got hard questions. Bill's got hard answers. We'll discuss that when we return to the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Hello, Father Marin. What a lovely day to listen.
The power of podcast compels you! The power of podcast compels you!
Beyond the Darkness is your podcast now. 5 days a week. And iTunes.
We're back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. Beyond the Darkness is on the air. And if you're looking for the perfect holiday gifts for your friends and relatives, well, go to darknessradio.com and click on our killer deals link. There you're going to be able to find all of the cool items that we've hand selected for you in our Amazon shop. There's everything from ghost hunting to Bigfoot hunting tools, books by many of the guests you've heard on the show, including Bill Bean. We'll make sure that we have his books up on the site. It's all in one comprehensive place. And then there are many of you that say to me, Dave, where can I get Darkness Radio shirts, swags, and other items? Well, you can go to darknessradio.com. When you're at darknessradio.com, there'll be a little tab at the top somewhere, and I believe it's the shop button. If you click on that shop, it'll take you into our shop with our cafe press, and you can see many of the different shirts that we've created, images that we have. Plus, if you go there, you can click and download free Darkness Radio coloring pages. They're available for you right now. Go check them out. That's a lot of fun. We've also got a couple of the weird Darkness Radio ringtones with Snallygaster singing Waterloo and telling you to answer the phone, and of course, the ever-famous Is My Baby Save It ringtone. You can check all that out on our website at darknessradio.com under shop or under our killer deals link to get all of those cool items. And by supporting that, you help support the show and make sure you continue to support our advertisers. I want to thank you guys. This is huge news. 44 million downloads of this show since we began Beyond the Darkness 1 year ago this year. That is 44 million downloads. We're also in the top 20 of new shows on iTunes for most downloaded. That's because of you guys. We can't even begin to thank you enough for showing that kind of love and support. It means more to Tim and I than you'll ever possibly know. So thank you very much for your love and your support and being a part of it. And if you want to meet Tim and I, you'd like to go on out and be around us, well, here's a cool thing to do. Go check out darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. Click on one of those different tabs and you'll see we've got a bunch of cool events that are coming up. The Australia Paracon in June. We've got the Jericho Cruise, which is in October of next year. We've got ESP Weekend, which is coming up the first and second weekend in January. I'll be there in Eureka Springs, Arkansas at the Haunted Crescent Hotel. So there's just a few of the ideas. Plus, we're going to have the Dracula tour that's coming up in September of 2018, and we'll continue to add more buttons and more locations like the Michigan Paracon, Chicago Paracon, and more. So if you're interested, check that out for yourself, darknessevents.com. Bill Bean is my guest, and we're chatting about his work in helping to deliver people from evil, and it's a big task. I have problems, Bill, and I guess this is why I'll never be a good exorcist, because my faith is constantly in flux. And I'm just being honest with you. We've been friends long enough, and I'm sure you can understand my my situation of having faith questioned and shaked from time to time. And I don't know if that's a good sign, because it keeps me willing to, open the dialogue and ask questions. But you said something earlier that it was going through everything that you go through and hearing the histories of these people, and you say, but I don't question God. There are many of us that do, and then that makes us feel weak and stupid, because how dare we question God when it comes to these things? But I almost feel like, how do you not question? Listen, if the leader of our country right now decided, hey, one out of every eight women is going to be raped, just so we've got that out on the books, we're okaying that, we're making it okay, this is going to take place. And not only are they going to be raped, but more than likely they'll end up being attached with some kind of spiritual or dark energy that could impact and affect their life for the rest of their lives. We're putting that out there. I want you to know that. The world would burn because nobody would accept that from a leader, let alone a god. When how do you do the work you do and not have it shake your faith to see these kind of heinous crimes, these hate crimes, these horrific things that are going on, and knowing that not only is now we found out the first aspect of it is horrible enough, but that opens us up for even more damage for people that didn't sign on for that.
And again, every man's life touches another in mm-hmm. some way, shape, or form. We always pray that it's in a good way, but unfortunately there are those out there who are guided by the forces of darkness that perpetrate wicked and heinous, just unfathomable acts on others. And believe me, I get upset by it. I have to tell you, I'm a true man of God, but if I were in power, I would empty the prisons out of these ones that do these horrible, wicked, and heinous acts, and they would no longer be on this earth with us. And they would call me the greatest mass murderer in history or whatever, but I just feel that when people are, and look, in these types of things, it's not the devil made me do it. The devil aids and abets. So when a person makes a choice to do wickedness and to harm someone in wicked, heinous ways, they are a willing participant. So then the devil is right there, and he aids and fuels and enhances everything. But the person made that choice by their free will. So when they're doing something like that, they're taking the rights of another. Therefore, in my opinion, they don't have any more rights. So that's another story for another show. But
doesn't that put you then, and again, I'm not questioning you, but just trying to get a full understanding, as I know our listeners do. You know, according to the Bible, we have to learn to turn the other cheek and leave the judgment to God. But in having that weakness within yourself, that you would want that kind of retribution and not leave it to your higher power, doesn't that show a crack in your shell that could be possibly affected?
Not for me, because I kind of adhere to the Old Testament, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. And so, yes, I certainly follow the teachings of Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. But I also, scripturally, you know, based on scripture, know that God had great favor on David and those of his kind who were in warrior mode. And let me state very clearly that I love people and there's nothing I wouldn't do for anybody and I would never want to hurt anybody in any way. But I feel, and this is just my opinion, that when those who carry out wicked and heinous acts, as we see, you know, unfortunately, you know, we read these stories all the time about young ladies being raped and killed and things of this nature, or children, you know, just horrific things that happen to children, whether it's sexual molestation or abduction, you know, and put into the sex slave industry or whatever it is. The ones that are doing this, Dave, in my opinion, I feel do not have any rights to anything, and they should not be on this earth any longer because they are willing participants for evil to work through them to carry out this high wickedness, which makes our world it taints and it darkens our world. And I just don't see any real changes taking place in our country or in our world until more severe penalties are instilled and put into place that, you know, these individuals right now, they just don't fear the system and they don't feel that the consequence is obviously not that bad if they carry out these wicked and heinous things, but if there were a more severe consequence that would await them, then maybe they would think twice before carrying out these acts. I mean, there's some Middle Eastern countries that if people carry out such acts, then they are turned over to the family for the family to do whatever they want to do with that person. So, yes, I love people, and I have mercy, and I have shown mercy and would do anything to help anyone. But when we're talking about those types of people, you know, they don't show any mercy, and they're allowing the devil and demonic forces to work through them to be a detriment to mankind.
Right. I'm with you on that. I understand that whole aspect of it. I just was curious, as I know many of our listeners will be when they're hearing this. Do you, I mean, Bill, we all have bad days. We all get knocked down and then we have to get back up again. But do you ever, after dealing with case after case after case of this, does it ever wear you out where you just need to step away from doing that work for a month or two just to regain your own sanity?
I'll say this. As you know, my travel is nonstop. I go at it really hard. And if not for the power of God, again, I wouldn't be able to do this. There's no way I could keep up with this pace. I can't tell you how many people call me in a day or text me or email me. I'll give you a quick for instance. I was in Orlando, Florida. I got back from Orlando. I had to go right back out to Chicago. And that was on, so I had a family that I helped in Orlando, got back, went right back out to Chicago this past Saturday to help a client. And also I had to give a eulogy for a family that I helped. An unfortunate circumstances where the lady had passed from cancer, and God bless the Machete family, wonderful people. And so I flew out there, and I was already tired, but Saturday morning I flew out to Chicago, went and helped the client, and I had to drive a half hour from the airport and then another hour and a half from the client's house to this other town, and then drive all the way back to the airport and catch a flight out of there to catch that evening flight to come home. And now I'm leaving for Charleston, South Carolina in the morning. So I couldn't do this without the power of God. There's no way, Dave. There is just no way. And yes, there are times that I feel like I'm in a fog and I have to just, I put my head in my hands and I have to pray. And God always recharges me and replenishes me. And I'm very much looking forward after this trip to having almost a week to be able to just rest and recharge. And then I won't have to go back out until January 3rd. I'll be heading to Tampa, Florida. But I'm very much looking forward to that little respite there.
The people that we've spoken to in this field that have dealt with exorcisms and possessions, from the lay religious helpers to the religious clergy, have said that people that do the work that you're doing end up leading a life that is often shortened because of the immense amount of energy it takes to do these kind of cases. Does that worry you or concern you at all?
I've thought about it. I'm not going to lie. And, you know, look, you mentioned something earlier about being honest, and yes, absolutely. We need to be real, always. We need to be real with ourselves. So if we can always be honest with ourselves, God already knows everything, so we're not going to con him, but we can't lie to ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves, and we certainly want to be honest with others. And yes, I have thought about that many, many times. And my conclusion on it is that God's will be done. Look, I love my life. I'm thankful for my life. I praise God. It's the first thing I do every day of my life without fail is thank God and praise God for the day, because life is a gift. We're not promised tomorrow, so we need to make the most of each and every day. So with that said, God's will be done, brother. If I'm here for another 50 years, praise God, and if I'm here for another 50 minutes, praise God, because it's in his hands, and there is nothing that we can do to change it. It is all in his hands.
Bill Bean, our guest, as we continue to talk about his work in deliverance to help people that are afflicted with dark energies, demonic realm, eternals, whatever you want to refer to these beings as. Have you ever physically been wounded during your work in doing deliverance?
Not that I can remember or think of. Nothing, certainly. You know, nothing in a major way, but I will say this. I've had, like, you know, the case that I just mentioned, you know, I was not physically injured out of that. I was exhausted, though, I'll tell you that. I can't think of any of them to where I was really severely physically injured. And may that never happen, and I praise God for that, because the potential for that is great. And that lady could have busted my head open, anything, you know, just from the beginning where she was trying to hit me with that glass. I mean, that could have certainly created a laceration or whatever, but I'm thankful to God that it didn't. But there's been other situations, Dave, to where I've been in some really bad areas, like West Baltimore and the Bronx, New York, and places like that, to where people don't want to go down into those areas. And I've been there, and I've had some physical confrontations in places like that. And again, I thank God and praise God for keeping me safe.
All right. Talk to me about some of the cases that you've worked on as well, dealing with this. When you're confronted by these spirits and you're confronted by evil on a regular basis, do they know you, Bill? I mean, you're at this almost as much as the Pope, it seems, in working in this kind of field. Do they start to realize?
Yeah, they know me.
Okay. And when they know you, do they address you?
Yes, sometimes. Absolutely. And then I just continue, and I'll take my whole demeanor in this is I have to be in control. So if some spirit starts talking like that, I will say, silence, you know, and I've got to be in that loud and authoritative voice. And I'll say, by the mighty power of Yahweh and his mighty and holy name, in Jesus' name, I command you to be silent, and I bind you, and I rebuke you, and I command you to depart. And it's all in this authoritative narrative. Because I know that if God is with me and for me, nothing can stand against me. And I had another case, I think it was right before, maybe the week before, or maybe the week after, I think it was the week after the October 27th case took place, and that was in Groversville, New York, which is way up there. It's not too far from Canada. I mean, it's way, way up there. And I'd say probably an hour north of Albany. And I'll never forget that, because the family, again, wonderful family, good people, but they were suffering greatly. And the little girls were being attacked, and they were seeing manifestations, and the husband and the wife, and they had a friend there, and they were all having these experiences. And I drove there. Usually I fly everywhere, but on this one I drove. It was about like a 7-hour drive, and when I got there, it was bitterly cold. It was like 15 degrees, and the wind was howling. And I had to go outside first, because these people were having experiences on the outside as well. And I had this strong feeling, because it was a very remote area, wooded. And I'm out there, and I had this strong feeling of being watched. Now, in this case, Jason McLeod assisted me on this. He actually is the one who contacted me. So this was his case, and he contacted me, and I went there, and Jason's become a good friend. He had been, you know, helping these people for a while, and I got there, and as soon as I got there, I could feel evil, but I also felt like we were being watched. So what I did was it was Jason and I, and Jason had a young man with him, and then the homeowner, the man of the house. We walked the property, and they had a lot of this salt, and I went salted all the perimeters of the property, and I could feel that presence. At one point I stopped, and I really felt like it was as crazy as this is going to sound to you, but I'm speaking the truth. I felt the presence of these Sasquatch, Bigfoot creatures. I didn't see them, but I sure felt it. And I ended up addressing them and asking them to go in peace. And if you are here, I'm asking you by the mighty power of Yahweh, in Jesus' name, to depart, stop scaring these people, and go in peace. And so you could feel it leave. And there's no doubt. And again, I did not physically see a Bigfoot Sasquatch creature, but I certainly could feel the presence. And I felt like that we were definitely being watched. And you could feel the peace come over after that. And I always ask God to send his giant warrior angels to encamp around the property, the home, the family, and pets, if they have the pets. And I do the blessings over the pets as well. And so that was phase one of that. But then we went inside, and before we went inside, the man of the house told me that they were also seeing the presence of this old man, that he had owned the property and the home, and he was sinister looking, and they were frightened by him and all this stuff. So he said that he found this cane, and it belonged to the previous owner, the old man. And for some reason, Dave, he had it stashed up underneath one of the soffit areas. So they had this house, and they had like several garages and storage things on the property that looked like these one big garage and then a series of little garages. Is, you know, a large property. And on one of the storage facilities, in the soffit, this cane was inside of there. And so it had this wood, you know, that was encasing it. So now here we are in the dark, freezing cold. The homeowner is looking for something to pry this open to, you know, get this thing out. And again, this is another miracle that God worked. I reached in there with my hands and was able to break that apart and get that out and get the cane out. And we burned that. So I did a binding and rebuking on the cane and bound and rebuked any evil that was upon it, and asked Yahweh's angels to come and take it, carry it off, and deposit it back into the pits of hell. And then the homeowner had started a fire. We put that thing in there, and wouldn't you know, Dave, it would not burn at first. And we had to, so we literally pulled it out of the fire. It would not burn. And then we snapped it into pieces and threw that in, and then it finally burned up. But it was extraordinary, you know, how that didn't want to let go. And then I had to go inside the home, and there was plenty going on there. And there's also portals, and this is something that we haven't discussed yet in this interview, that, you know, the devil and his minions come through these portals, and these are dimensional doorways, and they can open up anywhere. And so this property not only had portals, but the home had many portals in it as well. So when I'm done performing these spiritual deliverances over the victims, then I have to go through the entire home. So I started out on the property, but then after the deliverances were over, I have to go through the entire home to make sure that that home and every area of it is blessed, sealed, sanctified, purified, cleansed, and made holy before God. So I can't leave until I know that, A, it's gone, and B, that everything is sealed off to where it's not going to come back. And I remember a case in Gettysburg, and this was several years ago. A lady was demonically possessed, and I performed the deliverance over her, and it was lengthy. There were two rounds of that as well. But after it was over with, I went into, and this is a large house in Gettysburg, I went to the upstairs, and it would have been, I guess, designated an attic space, but it was really large enough to where you could put a master bedroom in there. And I went through, and as I'm doing the blessing and the binding and casting out of anything that might be lurking or hiding, I came up to this one spot, and it was beside a window. So if I'm facing it, as I was facing it, the window would have been on my right, and to my left was like ductwork coming up through the floor. And in that small dark space, I saw it. It was this black figure, and it had red eyes. And I saw it clearly, and so I had, I had the Bible in my right hand, and I had my holy mixture, like a flask, in my left hand. And I just stood, it was probably, I would say, 12 feet from me, and I said, by the mighty power of Yahweh and his mighty and holy name, in Jesus' name, I bind you, foul demon, and I command you to depart. And I threw the mixture three times, and Dave, I'm not exaggerating. Anything and everything that I've told you here is absolutely 100% truth. No exaggeration or embellishment at all, and I'm not about to start that with this. As I threw that mixture, this entity let out a screech like I have never heard before or since. It was so loud that it rattled the windows when it departed. Everybody heard it, and I'll never forget it. It was, I couldn't even describe to you in words what that screech was and what that sounded like. And then it departed.
That's freaky. You have that kind of experience. Again, there's a moment I might just hang up my hat and go back to doing, you know, Best Buy or working at Target. I don't know. Do you often, when you're facing this and you're dealing with the being, do you ever see it leave the human? Do you see a physical manifestation that not only you but others can see?
Yes, I have seen it. Yeah, and most of the time it's dark forms. There have also been times to where it was like balls, like thinking of one in particular where it was like the size of two basketballs put together, and I watched it leave the person and then go right through. I was in a basement area, so it left the person and it traveled in the air. After leaving the person, it went right through the back door to the outside in the basement. So, yes, I have seen things like that. I'm thinking of one case in the beginning. This young boy, he was probably 21, 22. He was possessed, and he was harming his family members, and he was lived in Delaware, out in the middle of nowhere. And what had happened, the origins of this, was that the young boy was picked on in school, but actually before being bullied and picked on, he was molested. So after being molested as a child, he got into, you know, as he progressed, he's going to school, and everywhere he went in school, he was bullied and picked on. So this kid decided that he was going to invite the devil into his life in exchange for power over people and to not be victimized anymore and all these things. And so that's what happened. And he became a Satanist, and he was performing sacrifices, and he should have seen all the stuff he had, daggers and all these things. And let's just say he hated me when I first came into that home, and it was the parents that called me. And I'm surprised there wasn't a physical battle there, because he absolutely loathed me when I came into that home. But that was another thing that took several hours. But it had gotten to the point to where he trusted me enough to where we could talk, and he started to share all these things with me. And again, when people start to share these things, they are breaking the power of the devil, because what we're doing is we're bringing this stuff up and out and off. So it's part of the purging process, and the enemy is losing his grip, you know, the more the person shares these things.
But Bill, on the other side, we know that the devil is the great deceiver. How do you know that it's not lying to you about what it's doing and pretending? Because that is something, and I'm wondering if you've run into this. I've dealt with other exorcists and people that were in deliverance ministry who've said that they will end up exorcising someone, getting the energies out, only to find out a day or two later it was mocking them and playing with them, and it never really left. And we've seen iterations of that in horror movies where it pretends to leave and it's really still there. Do you ever encounter experiences like that where it has tricked you?
Well, no, not tricked me, but I've encountered clients to where I had to go back several times, and there's no question in my mind that it has left at that time, because I wouldn't leave the person unless I knew that it was really gone from them. But I always caution people, and this is easier said than done as well. So I could stand there all day long, and God could work through me to deliver people from evil. But if the person doesn't have a mindset change, and that's easier said than done, because when a person's used to being in that fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living and operating, it's very difficult to change the patterns. But if the person does change the pattern and decides to take the gigantic leap of faith into faith, strength, and courage, warrior mode, then they'll never have another problem again. But if the person stays in that fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living, chances are it's going to come back because there's still a fear aspect present. And wherever there's fear, the devil will exploit that and capitalize on that and kick that door in. So, yes, there have been some cases to where I've had to go back several times.
And when you go back for these battles and you have to, you know, continue to set your heels and go at these things, do other creatures come in to back up the first one? You know what I'm saying? Is there somebody there to be backup for the demonic realm? You come in with backup from the spiritual realm. I'm just curious how that works out.
Well, scripturally, it says that if a man has been delivered from this and his house is clean and that door opens back up again, that seven more wicked than the original will come back. And that's exactly what happens.
Oh, so they will. That's when they become an infestation then.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is, you know, warfare. Each and every one of us are in spiritual warfare each and every day of our lives, whether we know it or not, whether we want to know it or not, whether we believe it or not, or whether we want to believe it. It's the truth. And the way to keep this door shut is to just operate in warrior mode. That faith, strength, and courage, it's easier said than done, but it's something that we must do, especially with the times that we're living in now. Boy, Dave, maybe the next time I come back, we'll talk about some of this AI and some of the things that are taking place and changes that are taking place. So we really must, with the times that we're in now, with the technology that is present now, we must really keep our connection with God super, super strong.
Bill, it's always a pleasure catching up with you, and I appreciate when you can come on and share some insights and talk to us about your work in deliverance and dealing with the paranormal. You know, it was interesting that you mentioned that earlier you said that you faced what you believe might have been or could have been a Bigfoot presence or spirit.
Yeah.
Have you ever encountered something that you would consider to be alien in nature? Because there have been encounters where people have seen aliens entering their home or into their room, and they, in fact, have been rebuked by the name of Jesus Christ, which I always found really interesting in that whole cosmic scheme of things. Are those demons? Are aliens what people believe to be, these little gray alien creatures, nothing more than the demonic realm, or are they beings unto themselves, in your opinion?
Well, I'm glad you bring this up, because I've had many experiences with UFOs and non-human beings. In my own, you know, when I was still a victim, I've had, you know, Bigfoot encounters as well. And I know it may sound crazy, but what I'm saying is absolutely the truth. And so, in my opinion, and I'll get to the alien thing real quick after this, but in my opinion, based on studies and reading the Book of Enoch, these Sasquatch Bigfoot creatures originate from the fallen ones. So when the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, came down and took human women as their wives, and they, you know, had sex with them, producing this hybrid offspring called the Nephilim. Well, then the Nephilim, they went into the forest and in the wooded areas and had unnatural sex acts with the beast of the field. So in my opinion, based on that, I feel that these, and there's probably several different types of these Sasquatch Bigfoot creatures, and I feel that they are the offspring of the offspring. So they are part angel, B'nai Elohim, sons of God, Nephilim. So they are part supernatural being. They are part human from the human women that were taken by the B'nai Elohim. And in some instances, depending on how this went, they are absolutely part ape and part bear. And this is why they're covered in hair. This is why they're gigantic. And again, this could be for another show, another time, but that is my strong feeling on this. They are very much supernatural creatures and very much tied in to the UFO alien aspect. And furthermore, here's something that's missed in all the churches. If I were to go into most churches and say what I'm about to say, they would call security or the police to get me out. But Psalm 68:17 says the chariots of God are 20,000. Okay? So our God, Yahweh, is his name, listed 6,823 times in the Bible, replaced with the title of Lord. So wherever you see Lord in caps, it should say Yahweh. Why does he operate or have his heavenly host to operate these flying chariots? I don't know. He created everything, but there must be a reason for it. So if that's true, if the heavenly host operates some of these UFO craft, then in my opinion, when Satan and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven, they were cast out in those flying craft, and they came down here and took the human women and then produced the hybrid offspring of giants, the Nephilim. And I think when God created the great flood, some of them escaped this planet and they were able to come back after everything calmed down. So again, all theory and conjecture. But I also feel that our governments now have this technology, and some of our shadow ops and black budget programs are operating these craft. And furthermore, in the vastness of the universe, I absolutely believe that our God created life elsewhere. And perhaps they are coming and visiting, and perhaps they're in the same way as we are, to where we are either positive or negative. And so I've had many, many UFO non-human experiences. And some have been very, very negative and horrific, and other ones have been divine. So again, I strongly believe that all of these things are connected.
It sure seems like it. Bill, continue doing the great work you do. How can people reach out to you if they're dealing with this kind of negativity or trouble and they need help?
Well, I thank you very much, brother. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be on with you, and I wish you a Merry Christmas and your family as well, and everybody out there listening, and thank all of you for taking the time to listen. And for anybody out there that may be having these types of problems, or if you feel like you're cursed, you feel like you're just stuck in life and you can't move forward, and you just feel like somebody's got their thumb on you, whatever it is, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm busy, but I'm never too busy to help somebody. So you can find me at BillBean.net. You can or punch my name into Google. You'll get all the info there. And email me directly from the site, and I will get back to you. Chances are my wonderful assistant Melinda will get back, and thank God for her, because I couldn't do what I do without her help. So I'm thankful for God sending her to me to help me. And so chances are that she would get back to you, and then we would set an appointment. And so don't hesitate to get help, whether it's me or somebody else. If you're having these kind of problems, be proactive and get the garbage out of your life.
Amen. Take care, Bill. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thank you all for tuning in. And remember to check out today's True Crime Tuesday. It is a very important message and a great story. Not in the sense of it's good news, but it is a great story to hear. It is unbelievable the things that our guest went through and her connection to a serial killer to try to seek answers and understanding. That's today on True Crime Tuesday. That's it for the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this has been Beyond the Darkness.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.